safe in your driver's seat then. Who would you rather be mad at you, him or me? You don't care what?
Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2.
This past Friday. Okay. Because I need to give you.
Listen.
It's been really squealing.
Sam said there's something like there's something wrong with the wiring or something from people like move it. It just breaks down.
It's like church Sunday. Did you see that Sunday morning after the last service?
Yeah,
he ran
into it. I have something to say.
He just grabbed it and held into it.
And it breaks down.
Tyler's brother.
I ain't gonna mess with that.
Well, just make sure you don't turn the knob that records.
I saw your dad there. Yeah.
Or Dave Turco's here, and he. That's bad.
And you know the interesting thing that you don't touch it. One day. Something wrong with wiring.
What time do you think this will be over?
I don't know.
Jesse is going to Young Life Camp, and she's leaving Friday, but she can catch the late bus, which goes after the ball game with the football players and the cheerleaders and stuff. Just wondering if it'll be done by then.
Yeah.
What I'm do, if she can do that, I may have her follow y'all, and then they can leave and come back if they need to.
Yeah. I don't know, because they usually last a couple hours.
Okay. And it starts at what time?
I think it's 7.
It's after the ball game. It's probably won't be until like 10:30,
okay.
Something like that. But because I was looking,
testing.
It's not even heat back in North Carolina.
Yeah, I know.
Testing 1, 2. Testing. Testing.
Has anybody paid you?
No. Matthew Alexander has the money. He's just gonna give it to us.
Good evening. Welcome to Worship on Wednesdays. We want to start off tonight with any prayer requests. We can't do that, Michael. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Karen? Good. Good. That's a blessing. Cameron? Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Travis? It's a chemical spill. Is that what you said? Okay. Anybody else? Nikki? What's his last name? Okay. Anybody else? Lauren? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. There was also this morning an Amber Alert issued for I think she's like 10 or 11 year old girl out of Springfield who was last seen with her mother's boyfriend. And then there was another one out of North Carolina. They did find her? Okay. Well, there was another one in the Columbia paper today. A lot of everybody I work with seems like comes from Columbia, and so the Herald was there. They were searching for a man and his two stepdaughters. The oldest one, which was 12. Okay. The 12-year-old was 9 months pregnant. That's what was in the paper. So, okay. So, that's a whole different prayer request right there. So, yeah. Anyone else? Emily? Oh, yeah. The youth evangelism.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. Any prayer requests back here? Praise reports, prayer requests? Okay. Patrick. Yes, sir. Okay. I'll do it. Anyone else? Okay, can we please bow our heads and close our mouth and prepare our hearts for worship? Dear God, thank you so much for this day and this beautiful weather that we're having. Thank you for bringing us together again tonight. Thank you for the opportunity and the freedom to worship you. Lord, we pray tonight that our worship would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we want to give you thanks for providing when people ask. Thank you for the people who are willing to serve in your name. Thank you, Lord, for all things. Thank you for being with us in good times and being with us in bad times and lifting us up when we need to be lifted up. Lord, we lift up in prayer Angie Schaefer, Cameron's aunt that has cancer, his dad that has just started a new marriage, Broderick Daughtry's brother, Alan, Lauren's English teacher, the youth evangelism meeting for the evangelism conference that's being held on Saturday, Charlie Thomas, the family who's being sent back to Australia, the chemical spill in downtown Nashville. Lord, we lift up to you the mother of the infant who was kidnapped. We pray for her healing, not only physically, Lord, but emotionally. We pray for the safety of the infant who was kidnapped. We pray that you would put on the heart of her kidnapper to bring her back and put her in her mother's arms. We pray for that kidnapper, Lord, for whatever emotionally caused her to do this. Lord, we pray for each and every person in this place tonight. We pray for those who are not with us, that they would be able to join us again at the next meeting time. Lord, just thank you so much for the saving blood of Jesus Christ. It's your name we pray. Amen.
really concerned and worried looking at how much crime multiplied. And there are some certain days are spoken like 2 of 12 is the solar activity movie extra something, the explosions on the sun that can cause the whole electric and satellite stop working and major catastrophes can happen. But the Lord said that to watch that sign and not to be worried. And also he said that to be ready for his coming. I'm really concerned about my thoughts. Like, if the Lord comes right now, where my thoughts are. If the Lord comes when I'm watching something stupid on TV, what I will tell him. So I don't know about you, I have some kind of phobia like that. And I'm really praying for the Lord when you come, let me be ready. Let me be found that I'm doing something for God, for His kingdom. My thoughts are clean, my heart is clean, my hands are clean. Yeah, and if I'm laughing, I'm laughing at something that is bringing glory to God. And we're teasing you all the time. See, we see your faces and we see when you're talking and laughing. And I would think, is there something with my hands if I'm laughing at? So that's been an old song that asked the Lord to revive us again.
I just, walking up here, I just can't help but think how good God is. I mean, just the songs and the band and the way that we were given the privilege to worship tonight, and God's good. I don't know. Hopefully you agree. I'm going to start with prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the privilege of coming here as brothers and sisters of Christ, and the privilege of worshiping you. We thank you for the chance to learn about your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for this praise band. I thank you for the ministry that they have, and the way that they assist us in worshiping you. God, I pray you be with me tonight as I speak. May I deliver the words that you want sent. God, be with the people sitting out here. Open their hearts and minds. Prepare them for worship. God, I pray that they don't just hear words, but they think about them. They learn about them. They discuss what I say with you in their head, Lord. And that they grow from it. All these things we pray in your name. Amen. So what have we talked about so far? Mrs. Tucker had a great idea for us to get this little sign and put what we've talked about so every week you guys know, since we're kind of building off the same topic. And I have a sign, and I have markers, but I haven't done it yet. So what have we learned so far? The first week, we learned about the scripture. It says, who do they say I am? We learned about different names of Jesus. We learned about different images of Jesus. We learned about what some people may think of Jesus, the video from S.M. Lockridge that we watched. And then the next week, we learned about Jesus' pre-existence. We learned that Jesus was there before creation, Jesus was there during creation, and Jesus is there through all time. Last week, we heard Paul talk about Jesus' authority, the authority that God gave him, and the authority we find through the scriptures. The fact that even demons knew who Satan was, and because of his authority, or even demons knew who Jesus was, and because of his authority, they ran from fear. Tonight, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ of Nazareth and his foreknowledge. What is foreknowledge? I looked up in the dictionary and I found three different definitions of foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is the knowledge of something before its existence or occurrence, knowledge of something before it actually happens, or knowledge of an event before it occurs. To me, all those things say it's when somebody has a knowledge of something before anybody else can possibly have the knowledge of it. And that pretty much defines what we're going to talk about today in Jesus. Why is foreknowledge important for Jesus Christ? There are three main points I want to discuss about the importance of his foreknowledge. The first one is that it reiterates the prophets of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, or what they would have called it, the law, the Torah, it explained Jesus and that he was coming, and it explained that he would understand what was going on. And this is something that would have been very familiar, very known by the people of the time. So in a sense, it would prove who Jesus actually was. The second point is it separates Christ from others claiming to be the Messiah. Many people, even in recent times, have claimed to be the Messiah, have claimed to be the one and only God to save people in different situations. They've claimed to know when the end of times are coming. They've claimed to know the future. But I think we find out that their claims are empty if what they say will happen never happens, or it happens in a different way. The third point is that the foreknowledge gives a sense of proof for the actions of Jesus Christ. If he states something, and it happens, then the followers have proof for what they believe. And the followers then can take that proof and share with their neighbors and their friends. And then those people can take that proof and pass it down through the generations to their family, which in essence has come all the way to us. And hopefully we'll pass it to our friends and our neighbors, and we'll pass it through our family and through generations until Jesus comes. There are four main stories from Scripture that I feel really supports the foreknowledge of Christ. If you guys open your Bibles, and there's Bibles in the pews, if you don't have it, go ahead and pull them out, because we're gonna go right in order, and we're just gonna work through these stories real quick. We turn to the Gospel of John, starting at chapter 13. The first story that I want to discuss that talks about Jesus' foreknowledge in an important way is Christ washing the feet of his disciples. This is something that I honestly feel like isn't preached about enough. Jesus told us to partake in the Lord's Supper. He told us about baptism, and we do that. We do both of those. And then we were given the Great Commission to go make disciples of others, and we try to do that. Well, this is something that Jesus also told us to do, to wash the feet of the people following us. And I don't think we do that enough, but that's a whole other sermon for some other time. But this is where this story involves several points of his foreknowledge. If you look at verse 1, it says, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." The key point when it says Jesus knew, that's everything we're talking about tonight, knowing. How many people here have had some kind of calling, whether it be a calling to the ministry, a calling to be a pastor, a preacher, a missionary, a calling to go to a camp, to go on a mission trip, to even talk to someone who you think needs a friend, that you think God is calling you to talk to that person? Has anybody? That calling, that sense of being in the right place, doing what God wants you to do, being obedient to him, following his will, is what's going on here. Jesus knew that there was a calling for his life. Jesus knew God had a plan for his life. And Jesus was following it, even though we'll see that it would have been a hard plan to follow through with, a painful one even. At this point in the story, after what we've read, Jesus goes and he takes off his robe and he goes and he gets the bowl to wash their feet in, and he grabs a towel and he goes over and he starts washing the disciples' feet. And they're kind of like, "Wait, what are you doing? You know, you're the teacher, you're the rabbi. You know, he's kind of supposed to be on a pedestal, and he's getting down on his knees to wash these people's feet." Which back in the day, I mean, sandals and dirt, it wouldn't have been a pleasant thing to do. Peter was pretty known for his kind of crazy statements. He's kind of like, "No, you're not washing my feet." And Jesus says, "Do you not understand what I'm doing?" And Peter says, "If you're going to wash my feet, then you're going to wash my legs. You're going to wash my arms. You're going to wash my head. You're basically going to give me a bath. You're not stopping at the feet. You're going to give me a bath." At this point, Jesus answers, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you is clean." That is another point of foreknowledge. It says here, first he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. He already knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that that person was sitting right there next to him. So he was, this is his way of saying, him saying that not every one of you is clean. That's a way that he used foreknowledge. If you move on to verse 21, Jesus finishes washing the disciples' feet and he explains what he's doing and he's explaining the importance of it. And I kind of picture at this point, we go into the next story that explains his foreknowledge, and that's the Last Supper. And I kind of, you know, he washed the feet, and in the Bible it just goes, you know, washing feet, next story. And I kind of think, you know, he probably did that and he was sitting down and he was probably thinking a little bit. And it says, after he had said this, talking about telling the disciples what to do, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." So I kind of think, you know, he washed the feet and he sat there and he just had this feeling, this nagging feeling of, someone is going to be, I'm going to be betrayed very soon. My ministry is coming to an end. I'm fulfilling my call. And what I know is going to happen soon is not pretty. So he says, it says that he was troubled in spirit and testified. At that point, his disciples are kind of sitting around and they kind of start to freak out. They're kind of asking, you know, well, who's going to betray him? Who's going to betray him? And people are saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And, you know, even Peter says, Lord, who is it? He kind of gets the courage because he's an outspoken one. And says, Lord, who is it? And if you look on verse 26, it says, Jesus answered, "It is the one of you whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." This is another point of foreknowledge. He knows who's going to betray him. I don't know about you, but being betrayed and knowing that you're going to be betrayed would be enough of a pain, I think. A personal pain. My heart would be broken. But knowing exactly who was going to do it would probably make it a little worse. Somebody who followed you for years, and someone who you took in as your own child and cared for him. At this point, it says, "Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him." We get here to one of the most spine-tingling points in this gospel, to me, anyways. I can only imagine what it would have been like. But Jesus, it says Jesus, I imagine him just looking straight at Judas at this point. And Jesus says, "What you are about to do, do it quickly." He knows he's going to betray him. He knows that if he's going to betray him like he is, he's got to do it soon. So he looks him straight in the eye and says, "Whatever you're about to do, do it quickly." That's hard for me to think of. From this point, Judas runs out of the room. Judas goes to tell the officials and the high priests and the Pharisees. But the conversation keeps on going. Who's going to betray? Who's going to betray? Because it kind of states that nobody noticed this. It was kind of a thing to the side. And Peter keeps on going. And Jesus starts explaining, "I'm about to go somewhere where you can't go." And they're like, "What do you mean? We followed you everywhere. Why can't we go?" And Peter kind of says, I would go with you anywhere. I would lay down my life for you." And Jesus, with his foreknowledge, says, kind of, and I'm paraphrasing, don't, this is kind of me. He says, "Really? Because you're going to betray me three times before the roosters crow." Meaning from this point until tomorrow morning, you're going to betray me. He knew it. And this kind of takes us on to our next story. If you turn to chapter 18, you go to verse 2, it takes us to where, after all this has happened, Jesus has gone to the garden, he's praying. We'll talk more about that later this fall, but Jesus is praying, and Jesus, he's really, this is when he's struggling with his call that I've said a couple of times, and he knows it's coming to an end. He knows it's not going to be pretty, and he knows it's going to be painful, but he's obedient. So he's walking out to his disciples after he prays, and once again, it's me imagining, but he sees a group of people coming at him, and it's a group of that Judas has brought. It says, now Judas, who betrayed him, in verse 2, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with the disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers, some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. This is where his foreknowledge kicks in. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked, Who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I am he, Jesus said. When Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. I think that ties back to what Paul talked about as authority. Because he said it, and because of who he was, they knew it. Again, he asked them, who is it you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. I told you that I am he, Jesus answered. If you are looking for me, then let these men go. This goes on to, if you go to chapter 19, and this is kind of the last story that I'm going to speak about tonight. Jesus dying on the cross. If you go to verse 28 in chapter 19. At this point in the story, Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus went with the soldiers and the Pharisees and the chief priests. Jesus is being obedient. He has gone through people mocking him by putting a mock crown of thorns on his head. He's dealt with people hitting him, beating him, screaming at him, spitting in his face, spitting in his wounds. He's dealt with people giving him a garment because it resembled royalty coloring. He's dealt with people, you can only imagine the things that people were saying, mocking him, saying, you're not the king, you're not the king. If you're the king, you could do this, you could do that. Jesus is fulfilling prophecy at this point. It says later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So why is this important? Why is knowing that there's foreknowledge, that Jesus had foreknowledge, important to us as Christians 2,000 years ago? This is what I think. I think it's important because if Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he told us what was going to happen, and it happened, then the things he told us that would happen in our future, or in the future from that day, will happen. Does that make sense? If he said something was going to happen in the past and it happened then, and he has spoke about what will happen in our future, it's going to happen. And that's something valuable for us to use. We weren't there for the physical proof, the physical evidence. But we have the scriptures, we have the accounts of the people who were there. I tell you these stories, and I tell you what I know about the foreknowledge to kind of set up the next 2 weeks. Brother Larry and Paul are going to be talking about how Jesus predicts his own suffering, and they're going to talk about how he foretells his departure. It kind of all goes together, and I'm kind of the introduction of Jesus' foreknowledge. But I want to end with a few thoughts. The first one being, Jesus was there when nothing else was. Jesus was there during creation, and Jesus has been there ever since and will continue to be there. Jesus was given and has authority. Jesus speaks of something, and it happens. We should respect this. We should believe it. And we should have faith in it. Tonight we're gonna try something a little different. We're gonna have a prayer. I'm gonna open it up, and it's gonna be an opportunity where you can once again interact with prayer. And then at the end, where's Savetta? Who's gonna end it? Who's gonna end the prayer? It'll be ended, and we're gonna sing a song a cappella. So, and it's a familiar song, I think. So. Emily, your friend Charlton, is that right? Huh? No. No, you're very important too, but Charlton, his birthday was this past week, and tonight is the 5 month anniversary of his passing away, right? So this is on the minds of a lot of Ravenwood, and it's certainly on the minds of his family. If you've dealt with a death, a close death, the first year, everything's the hardest. So let's keep them in mind throughout the week, the school, the family. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son and the fact that you gave him a calling and he obeyed it. God, I thank you that he died for our sins. I ask you to forgive us for our sins. God, please be with the families of people who are grieving, whether it be a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad or a grandfather, grandmother, aunt and uncle. Just be with them, Lord, because it's hard no matter who it is. God, I pray that you be with these students as they go to school every day, facing the world. Give them strength to rely on you. God, I thank you for each and every person here tonight. I ask for blessings for each family represented. God, you've done so much in our lives, and so many times we do forget to say thank you. So thank you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you love.
did it because he loved us. He still went through the pain. He still went through the torture because he loved us. Take that and show that love to your friends and neighbors and family.